And we're holding here in Bereishis, and we're looking at the Ramban on the words on Bereishis. Ramban says, Bereishis Elokim, Kos of Rashi, brings the famous Rashi, that Einam Erkzon Darsheni, Bereishis Tor Shnei Bereishis, Hashem Kana Bereishis Darko, Yisrael Shnei Bereishis, and so on. So Rashi brings a Chazal that says, what does Bereishis mean? Hashem created the world for Bereishis. Torah is called Rashis, as Hashem Kanani Rashis Darko. Klal Yisrael is called Rashis, Kodesh Hashem Rashis Tvosoi. Va'medrash Hazel Rabbeinu Tzeinu Sosim Chosmor. It's a very, very enigmatic medrash. Ki Dvorim Rabbim Motzah Hashem Rashis. You know, there are many things that are called Rashis. U'bekulom la'medrashim, and all we find a medrash that says that that's how the world's created. U'ktani amani Yisrael l'rubam. And people just sort of make fun and they count how many there are. They bring up Bereishis Rabbah, says Bisos Chala, Maisris, Bikurim. All of them kind of, it's strange. It's almost as if Chazal just went hunting to look for finding some obscure place where the word Bereishis doesn't stick it into the passage. So he says a different reason. The Kavanosim Zu, Shemilas Bereishis Timos, Ki Be'eses Firis Nivrolom. The word Bereishis means that the world was created with 10 spheres. And it's hinting at a sphere that's called Chachma, which is the very beginning of all of it. It is the Truma, which is holy and has no amount because of how little people understand about it. He's saying a mouthful, and let's talk about this, because really there's a lot of very, very important points here. First of all, let's understand the implication of the word spheres. Like Hashem Baruch Hu created the world in 10 spheres. Now, there's an old kind of, bon mot, that the world is divided between the people that divide the world into parts to the people that don't divide it into parts. Dumping 10 spheres into the world is not of any significance in itself. I could divide the world into a trillion parts. I can divide it into two parts. Anything on the Eastern Hemisphere, anything on the Western Hemisphere. Divisions and structure have to have meaning and so on. When the first order of meaning in Akash Baruch Hu in the world of 10 spheres is that there is a progression step by step from point of origin to point of destination. In other words, Akash Baruch Hu did not just toss out a world. He layered a world. For instance, let's take something very simple. We know that math equations really describe all the basic phenomena of the world, and then we can flesh it out into laws of nature, which are already words about certain things happening, and we can actually then flesh it out into real items. So gravity goes from being a formula to a description to racks falling down and so on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world where it's a step-by-step process from the word Yior to the light that's there. And we can tap in on each layer, so when a scientist studies science, he studies something real. It's meaningful. When he collects the data, that's meaningful. When he formulates the law, that's meaningful. When he describes the equation that governs the phenomena, it's meaningful. When we speak about the philosophy of light and darkness, it's meaningful. Because the world has many layers, and each one is meaningful. So the spheres are sort of layers of things going from the very root to the actualization, the most tangible, palpable actualization of those words. Now, the first sphere is Chachma, which means Chachma, besides the fact that thought, planning, concept preceded the world, and that's why we can reverse the process. And when a person is studying light, he's not just studying, well, where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to leave the lights on and where did he close them? He studies the laws of that light. There's plenty of laws of them. And he goes into depths of hashgacha about light, and all of it is true, because that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. He started with a root called chachma. So first of all, the fact that thought comes before actualization, that itself implies structure. A person acting on whim, I can't actually put a structure onto it. there was a person who lived in Azabir, a neighbor of mine. That area used to be a very, very poor neighborhood because it was right on the border until the Six-Day War. And this person was Yemenite. He was extremely smart, very, very uneducated. I don't think he was playing a full deck of cards either. He was one of the leaders. There was a Black Panther movement in Israel in, I don't know, in the 60s. And, you know, he was an interesting person. And he wrote a book. And the book is just, you know, about his life and how bad life was, whatever it is. The book stops in mid-sentence. And he says, that's it. I'm not in the mood to write anymore. And that's it. And he went off to the publisher and published it. And it left off like in the middle of a paragraph, something, in the middle of a sentence. And zero, nigmar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with chachma means that every single piece is rooted in a structure. And that's why chachma is the root of it. But more than that, chachma, bina, and das are three types of, we'll call it wisdom, knowledge, reason, however you want to describe it. And they form the first three spheres. Chachma is unique. Chachma represents that first flare of an idea in your mind before you process it. So, you know, sometimes a person is working on an issue or a problem or whatever, and then all of a sudden there's a flash inspiration. He has an idea, then he has to chew up the idea and work it through and process it. The processing is called bina. And that's really something that's a little more tangible. It's developed. It's possible to trade it with somebody else, and you know we can have a dialogue about it. The chachma part of it is just flesh, and it's the very beginning of wisdom. Is that flesh, and then we sort of chew it up, digest it, ask ourselves why, and so on and so forth, and apply a scientific method to it. Chachma is that first flesh, and that's why. So. First of all, Bereishis means Hashem created the world with a beginning, meaning that things would unfold. Going back to that, let's go back to that guy who's kind of just totally irrational person, and he's he spends a day doing X, Y, Z. I can't say that the thing he did first is the root for what he's going to do later. You know, every moment depends on the whim of that particular moment. That's totally disjunct. A person who's very rational, totally rational, I say, one second. He started the day by saying, I wish to do this. Everything that he's done is leading up to it. Some of the things are obvious, some things are less obvious, some things are baffling. But I know that that's what's happening. So, Bereishis Barlakim means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the world with a Bereishis, so that things have structure, meaning, continuity, and so on. And that's a very, very important piece to remember. That's why we're able to learn about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's drachim, even though we believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu's drachim are beyond our understanding. But this world was created Bereishis. This world was created with a structure, with a step-by-step structure. So, he also says, he had Truma v'Kodesh. This is why it's called Truma, and it's Kodesh. Eila shir, truma does not have the Torah. In the Torah, truma does not have any shir. Why? Lemid v'nevrebo. You know, the processing of thought, it has structure to it, and we can understand it and elaborate on it. We can write a lot of books about logical thought process. Inspired/creative thinking, really, we have no insight into it. I always get a kick out of a book, How to Think Out of the Box, or How to Be a Creative Thinker. The best advice is to take a shower, forget what you're doing, and all of a sudden it'll come to you. And that's basically probably the best advice in the whole thing, because it's by definition, you can't program yourself to be deprogrammed. It's self-contradictory. So he says, so that's why truma is a thing. It doesn't require any shear. That's one point. What about maisers? Because she yinodam esa midis, v'yafish achas me esa, remez la esa spheros. There's another way of looking at it and seeing it part of the whole total, and that's maisers. That's 1 out of 10. There are 10 spheros. This is one, the first out of the 10. Yispoina chacham basiros yidavuba. So now we can talk about it because now we see it in the context of the whole thing. So at the moment that flesh inspiration, describing that flesh, I can't elaborate. But once I process it and I develop it, that I can speak about, that's 1 out of 10. V'chalo mitzvah yechida be'isa termos lezeh. And the chala, which is the mitzvah of a bread, which is a staple, is also a remesu. Yisrael, which is called the Rashis, is Knesset Yisrael. Hamishula l'sher Ashirim l'kala shekara kosov bas v'chois v'eim. So, Klal Yisrael, being that they're the reason for creation, that's appropriately called Rishon. And then same thing, Moshe Rabbeinu says Vayar Reishis Lo is Moshe, because it says he spoke by Spaklaya Meiro, so that means understanding the Torah starts with him. So the Ramban says V'Efshalar Beferesenu B'Michtav. I can't write more about this. But Remez Rav Nezek, adding more clues is only going to cause more harm. Ki Yisru by Sfaras and Mememes, people are going to imagine things that are not true. Like Ramban says, I'm kind of stuck here. I'm not elaborate, not going to talk about these things very much, but on the other hand, the more I toss out these sort of little clues, people will think about more things and not good. Avliskati ze livloim pik tani amona meute chachma ligel chafet. I just wanted to mention this so that people who are ktanei mon and they poke fun at Chazal, I wanted to shut them up. It's very interesting. Poking fun at Chazal was a time-honored tradition. It's not something very few people dared to go up against the Torah, but Chazal was fair game, and that's why you get all sorts of comments about Chazal and what kind of thing is this. He said, I just wanted to show you the extraordinary depth of Chazal to shut you up. And the explanation and the elaboration of it, and I think that's a lot why the Ramban throws in every so often a Kabbalistic point. I don't think he's interested in explaining it. I don't think he's interested in elaborating on it. Maybe he wants to sort of help the person who's looking for it, but I think more than that, he is looking to show people, you know, this is a big, big world. It's not for you. Just understand that you're standing on hallowed ground and treat it as such. Okay, next one is the Mor Nevuchim that deals with the different Lashonos in Chazal about Bris Olam. Umashet Tzorech is born in Elov. Elo Abba Milos HaShabor Be'ach Shemayim Lokai. Behem. Bora Osa Kona Vikel. Oma. Bora Lekim Es HaShemayim Varetz. V'oma B'yom HaSosos Lekim Es HaShemayim. V'oma Kona HaShemayim Varetz. V'oma Kael Olo. V'oma Lekei HaShemayim Kael Varetz. So we have four terms that he's using intertwined with Bria Solo. Omnam Omra Shekrenanta V'Tapo HaShemayim Dato HaShemayim. So even the other words, konanta, tapcha, note, he feels they all fall under the category of asiya. But still, bara and asiya are very distinct, and we have to think of vikana and kel. Omnam milos yitzira loba. Why is yitzira not used? Now, it's interesting. Obviously, the Mekubalim use bria, yitzira, and asiya, and one more term, to talk about bria solom. But he says Yitzira was not used except for other moments, actually. Ki yirli sha Yitzira omnom nofelas ala sof sura v'toar oy mikra min ha mikrim achem gamkein. Katsura Vatoa Gamke Vimikra. He says the word Vayitzura doesn't apply well to Bria for the following reason. A Tzura is always something inscribed on something else. In other words, when a person has a pen and he puts, a person has a piece of paper, that's sort of, that's chaymer, that's the matter, and then he writes on it, that's tzura. A person has clay and he shapes it to be something else, that's the tzura that he puts onto the chaymer. By definition, so tzura and chaymer are the old terminology of form, substance and form, matter and form. The thing about form is it always must be landing on the matter. In other words, you have chomer, you have a thing, and you shape it. You impose. I have a piece of wood, I make a square out of it. I have a stone, I paint it white. So tzura is always a secondary process. That's what he calls mikra. It's not an essential, something that exists essentially in this world. It's something which is done to something else. Omnam zeh metzias emyuchad b'chal olam asher shamayim v'aretz hitalav bara shoratzeinu hamtzo me'eder. When we talk about creating the entirety of the world, something coming from nothing, that transition, that's called bara. And that's the accepted translation. Ramban actually has some differences, but he uses the word bara, which means for us something came from nothing. Vama gam kein asa means it's surasim haminis eshnaslem. It's a lem tiveyem. So we know there is life in the world, and that's called bara. But that there are dogs and cats and elephants, those are already different. That he calls asa. In other words, it's life has been brought into the world. The specific type of life, that's called asa. V'omem kana, what's kana? L'moshes baruch alim kishol adma avadu. Kana denotes the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'zeh nikra doin kol aretz v'ha'odai. V'kasha lo yeh odin avashol ha'kinyan. In order to be master, it must belong to you. So when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kana, Rashi says, for instance, he was kana everything because he made it. So anything that you've made is yours, but the description of kinyan is, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kana shnei dvarim, we're not talking about the fact that he made it, period. We're talking about the fact that being that he made it, he is now the Adoyim. So that's why he feels, going back to his distinction between Bar and Asa, is that the world came from one matter, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposed a seer on it. I want to stop a second and discuss a point. One of the proofs or evidence of evolution is that all living matter can sort of be traces all back to one organism. It's variation in an organism. Now, like all things, like all proofs of evolution, like many proofs of evolution, it's all built on knowing the psychology of God. I sit down, I stroke my beard or beardless chin, be so, and I say, if I were God, how would I create the world? Well, I would make elephants out of elephantine, and I would make sharks out of sharkim, and so on. Now that they're all one cell, and basically at some point I can all the same thing, obviously it's not that it evolved. I'm not sure where that idea came from. Why would God do it that way? Our understanding is the other rabbi, that Echad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sort of implies that we would have a common starting point, and if the God is a control, that he can impose this variety out of one piece. That's how that's the Echad of Hashem within the variety of the Bria. And that's what he says here. He says, because there is a one matter to start with and then a differentiation, that's the Bar and Asa respectively. When he uses Kale, it means the total picture as it appropriately is, a world with its God. So when he says Kale, the difference he says Adon Olam, Akana, is the fact that Hashem can twist and turn it to his will. And that's because if he brought it into being, he obviously can do what he wants with it. Kale means the recognition of the world in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the shlemistic picture the world is supposed to be. It's a world incorporating HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the world. So those are the Rambam's four different inyanim.
So maybe those four characteristics, I guess, explaining the creation. So what's it drawing from? Like, how are they all connected to? We already know that he was a Bri, he's a Bar. So Bri is creating Yeshmiyah.
So the steps are like that. Okay, good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world from nothing, imposed on it, gave it specific, divided into specific Nivroim, that's Asiya, is able, while it, even after it came into existence, he's the one who controls it, but the goal, so to speak, is Kale, Shemayim, Elokei Shemayim, that this be recognized as the true state of things. Because when people, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can direct the development of humanity is his ability as Kohen Shemayim Varetz. The Kale Olam is the shlemus of a world recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Shoresh and the one that can direct it, so on and so forth. So that's how the two things go together. Okay, I think we'll hold it here. My friend will do.